A few weeks ago, we did a talk back around the question, is there a right time to have a baby? Interestingly, a lot of people who rang in that day thought that doing it when you're young made sense. Well, the woman you're about to meet is what's known in the medical field, certainly in the UK, as a geriatric mother. Amelia Ward and her husband had reconciled themselves to a life without children. That all changed one day on Bondi Beach, and Amelia joins me now. I think you better explain. It all changed on Bondi Beach.
We came over to have a family holiday in Australia over Christmas, and we're on the beach, and I'm putting on my bikini.
You're putting it on the beach?
No, I'm sorry, I'm sort of adjusting my bikini, and something doesn't quite fit, and I felt really uncomfortable, and we looked at each other, and I thought, oh my God, what have we done?
How many pies have I had?
Yeah, no. Well, how many glasses of champagne I'd had the night before celebrating with my mates back in Australia. So we went to the local pharmacy, got a tester, went to a local cafe.
Really? Like then and there?
Then and there, on Bondi Beach, on Campbell Parade. There we are. I'm pregnant. And it was instantly sort of excitement, instant nerves, instant, oh, our lives are about to change. And I sat on this piece of information all day and baked myself red. I just sat there on the beach, just nervous, just the whole day going, oh my goodness, what have we done?
Oh, geez.
As we sort of worked it all through.
How old were you then?
45.
Right.
And
how old's the baby now?
He is turning 4 in about 6 weeks.
Ooh, that's lovely.
And good child, but unexpected.
And you blame a change of lifestyle for this?
I'd spent 4 years in a very high profile, high energy, high stress architectural firm in London, working for a woman called Zaha Hadid.
Oh, I've heard of her.
Yeah, I was her practice manager, running and building her practice for her. I lived on coffee, I lived on, white wine, I lived on late nights, early mornings. And then I decided to set up my own consultancy doing architectural practice management. So I took a step back and I sort of reevaluated my life, and I changed my diet and gave up drinking and just went healthy for a while, and that's when we got pregnant.
Right. Okay. And were you trying, or?
No, we weren't.
Are you kind of decided that it wasn't going to happen? Or?
Well, we'd been unfortunate over the years not to happen, and unfortunately we had a miscarriage or two.
Mm.
And, we were living in, we'd lived all around the world. We'd had this most wonderful lifestyle, been very fortunate and very happy, and, several years in New York and Barcelona, and, it was just not going to happen. And that, we know enough people in our lives who've had IVF, or enough people in our lives who've adopted, that we accepted that we were just one of that minority that wasn't going to have children.
Mm.
So when Hunter arrived, he was such a blessed child that sometimes he looks at me and I think, well, you can have it. You can get away with that because you are so wanted and you were so...
So you never get cranky with him ever?
Oh, I always get cranky. I'm like every other mother.
Well, it sounds like you're a kind of... You have been, anyway, this very driven.
I have been very driven.
In fact, they had to chisel you out. Didn't you work until the morning he was born?
Yes, I was, on a building site.
Right.
Because we were in the middle of doing, renovating an apartment in London, and my role was still project managing, and I couldn't walk off because the builders were on, despite having told me they'd be finished before my child was born. So that morning, I was writing lists and making phone calls from my hospital bed, waiting to be taken into theatre. And, 2 days later, 3 days later, even though our little boy was unfortunately in intensive care because he wasn't breathing, he had stopped breathing when he was born.
Oh,
but he's fine now. He's absolutely fine now. He decided not to, stopped breathing. So they had to paddle pop him, and then he stopped breathing again. But, after 10 days in intensive care, he came out as a perfectly normal baby. So thank you to the UK medical people. I went back to work, 5 days after he was born?
Yes. On Life Matters Today, I meet the listener guest this week is Amelia Ward, who got in touch actually after hearing our talk back, is there a right time to have a baby? Of course there isn't. Although if we just said that, it would have been a very short program. I feel we've had to play a lot of music over the next 55 minutes. I have to ask you though, the geriatric mother thing.
It incensed me. It really incensed me because I've never felt my age. I've always believed you are the age that I feel that, if you are how your body makes you.
Yes.
And I just was trundling through my 40s, feeling 40, not 45, 46, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the doctors, you know, my obstetrician gave me this title. I was really upset. And then I asked the girls here in Sydney, my girlfriends here, and they were also given that title. And a girlfriend of ours who is to have a baby in October, who's 49.
Yes.
Naturally conceived also.
Yes.
She has been told she's a geriatric mother.
I wonder if there's a word that's beyond that. If you decide to have one, if you can have one at 50, do you kind of progress up the scale to a kind of super geriatric
Geriatric or ancient lady.
Fancy. What about your own childhood? How was that?
Complicated. I was born to army parents who travelled all around the world. At the age of two, I left Scotland and we didn't really go back until I was 17. Lived all over the world and my parents put me into school in Brussels so that while they travelled, I could remain in one stable place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a convent where the nuns were thought learning to ride and crochet and sing was more important than geography and German. But every class I took was in French. We didn't speak English at school, we spoke French. And they taught me German in French. So it was a very interesting education, taught me a lot about life, but didn't really equip me for university. So I had a bit of a struggle getting my HSC equivalent. And but, you know, late start, managed to get there.
Yeah,
got my master's in the end. But, you know, my parents were very lucky in that they were living quite an interesting lifestyle around, you know, in America during the 60s, during the Kennedy years.
Mm.
And they were in Kenya in the 50s and in Singapore in the 70s. So in sort of quite high political,
yes,
intensive areas.
Everywhere they went, it was very interesting. I would imagine, though, that with Hunter being an unexpected surprise, you won't be putting him in boarding school.
He's going to the local school. He's going to be with his parents until he chooses to leave home, which may be at 18, maybe at 21, because, you know, that's the way children are going these
days. Maybe at 30, then.
I know, exactly. No, we're quite happy for him. You know, we've talked about it. We're very happy for him to be with us. It's not as if he's a child that needs to be removed, as so many children are.
Do you think there are, because we heard, and I was really surprised we didn't hear more from older mothers who said, actually, it's worked out great for me. We didn't hear a lot from them. Do you think can you see the advantages in having a baby later?
Yes, absolutely. I bring more experience of the world to my son's growing up. I've got more skills. I've got a lot more patience. Well, I feel I've got a greater level of patience than I had in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much about me anymore. I'm very happy to turn my energies into making this little boy grow and helping him, you know, become a good person. Whereas if I'd had him when I was in my 20s, I'd have been too busy running around being myself, developing myself, being the things I wanted to be and not caring so much about him.
What about energy levels, though? Because that is a difference. You don't have the energy levels now that you would have in your 20s.
No, I don't. But I still do have quite a high energy level. I'm very fortunate. It was one of the things that I received from my mother is a high energy level. So I can keep up with him. But I do find Sunday evenings, it's usually flopping on the sofa going, oh, that was a hard weekend. But the energy level is an issue. I think especially if we have a broken night.
Yes.
Or he wants to be very active, like yesterday, and we spent the whole day at the Powerhouse Museum.
And you said in your letter, and I remember reading this out, was that best of all, having our son has meant my husband has finally got fit.
Yes, he started running again, and he started, you know, thinking about his sort of physical future. So he doesn't want to be a fat dad. So he wants to be able to sort of play football, and he wants to run with Hunter, and, you know, possibly climb a tree and teach Hunter all the things that he learned as a kid. So he's going to do the city to surf. He's got sort of long-term goals. I'm really, really, really proud of him. Proud of him.
Well, it's a great story. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
That's Amelia Ward, who's our Meet the Listener guest this week, and enjoying every moment with Hunter, an unexpected surprise. She became a mother unexpectedly at 46 and is clearly loving it. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. And coming up after the news, it's Ramona. And today, Ramona, one man's quest to keep libraries open in America.
And
And what a man. Charles Simic is America's former poet laureate. He's currently Professor Emeritus of American Literature at the University of New Hampshire. And he is on a mission because I don't know if you, or you probably have, I think you have covered libraries in your show, but in the US, the government funding is tight and all sorts of places are closing their public libraries, curtailing their hours of operation. And Charles Simic, who came to America as a young refugee, I guess, from Serbia after the war, didn't even speak English at the time. He's now a very, very important American poet, and it was because of public libraries, he says, that he was introduced to a whole world that he wouldn't have had access to otherwise.
Well, more power to him. I think public libraries are a country's national treasure, and I hope he succeeds with this. Join Ramona after the news for the book show here on ABC Radio National. Tomorrow on Life Matters, a truly compelling account from a quietly angry woman whose baby Isabel Rose died at birth in Melbourne in a private hospital. Caroline Sugden demanded answers. You really ought to hear this. That's Life Matters tomorrow. News time now.